What's good? Welcome to the What's Good podcast, and I'm your host, Milton Young. Welcome to episode 17, another solo podcast that I'm very, very, very excited to bring to you tonight. It's after receiving a serious ass beating. I went to train tonight over at Matt Secor's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Southlands Falls. It's been a few, if I'm being honest with myself, I think it's about 5 weeks since the last time I trained. And it's interesting because I've been trying to record episode 17 for the last two nights. And to be honest with you, I was struggling with it because every time I would record it, it just didn't seem right. It just seemed like something was off. And I just couldn't put my hand on it. So I was going through and just trying to do some self, just analyzing what was going on and what's missing. And I realized I haven't trained in so long. I haven't been on the mat and I haven't felt the pressure and I haven't felt that just competitive edge or that real physical push, like really pushing myself to an edge. And when you push yourself like that, it changes you. It changes your approach to things. It changes how you handle things throughout the day. And I realized while I was doing some of that self-reflection that, you know, I'm starting to get agitated by things that shouldn't agitate me. You know, I was making problems out of problems that really weren't problems. And what do I mean by that? I think we all do it. We all do it. We all just, we get caught up in ourselves and we get focusing on what we're doing. And sometimes we just end up, you know, taking things a little too serious and making a much bigger deal out of them out of what they really have going on, you know? Like, and when I know with myself, when that starts to happen, it's one of the things that I noticed when I was doing jiu-jitsu is that everything stayed in the right place, you know? I didn't let things that shouldn't bother me. I didn't let, because I knew what was hard, you know? I know it's difficult because that is the most difficult thing of my day. For example, when I woke up yesterday, I was very, well, today, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but, and we'll get to that later. But anyway, I woke up excited when I realized I was going to be training because I knew I was going to be pushing myself to another level. I knew I was going to be testing myself to see if I still had the same reflexes, if I still remember the technique, if I could still keep up with these savages that, I mean, they're just relentless with their training, you know? So when you know that that's going to be the hardest thing in your day, everything else has its place. Nothing's going to bother you more than it should. And that's important because it keeps you balanced throughout the day, you know? And when, like I said, when you start doing difficult things over and over and over again, and it becomes a habit and becomes a part of your day, and it's, you make it a ritual, it reflects in in everything you do. You, because I know when I told myself I was going to be doing jiu-jitsu that night, I knew that everything, I had to do everything right. I had to drink my water so that I didn't cramp up while I was rolling. I had to make sure I ate a good meal for lunch so I had the energy to roll. I had to make sure I had my sleep the night before because I was going to need the energy. Everything just kind of lines up. And then when I made that commitment to myself to go and show up and get it done, regardless of anything that was going to happen that day, it's something that you just make it happen. And I see it every day with the training partners, everybody that was there today, that they go consistently. It doesn't matter if there's snow, tornado, earthquake, they're going to show up and they're going to roll. And a lot of it is, it has a lot to do with being a martial artist, for one, that type of discipline that it kind of gets molded into your DNA. And two, a lot of people that are doing jiu-jitsu, they're on the mats for more than just physical, more than just the physical benefits, more than just the mental benefits. It's for themselves. They're holding themselves accountable. And some people, you know, you're dealing with something, or they've dealt with something, and because of being in the gym and because of being around the people with the type of mentality that they have and the type of dedication that they have and the type of support that they give you, they've been able to overcome those things. So they know the value of it, and they'll do whatever they have to make sure that that type of support system and that type of activity and that it's just in their life. And when I showed up today, I knew who was going to be there. The same people that are always there, just training, focus 150%. Believe it or not, 150% does exist because these guys give everything they have even when nothing's left on the mat. And like I said, when you know that you're going to be facing those type of people, those are the people that you're going to be fighting with. I mean, literally fighting with. You approach the day differently, and you know that's going to be the hardest part of my day. So everything else is in alignment, and that's important. So today's class was a really good class. We worked on a lot of things, but the main focus today was really escaping from side control. That doesn't mean a lot of the viewers that don't know anything about jiu-jitsu, so I won't dive into it too much, but what was interesting about the technique is, you know, a lot of people, they look at jiu-jitsu and they don't really know what's going on, and it's unfortunate. It's almost like it's like on another language what's taking place for you to understand it. And that's one thing, you know, if you're just thinking about getting into jiu-jitsu, start familiarizing yourself with the terminology. Just so in your first class, you're not totally lost, because you get lost just off of the terminology. And Chris was the instructor today, and he did a phenomenal job of just giving you the details. It's amazing when anybody is teaching you anything, the difference is in the details. And Chris just nails it every single time. He just gives you something that makes you look at the technique completely different. And in layman's term, what we were talking about doing is when you're laying on your back and someone's over you, on top of you, and you're trying to get out, they were just talking about where you're connecting and where you're going to push and where you're going to leverage to make sure that that happens, you know. And that's really all we were focusing on. And we spent about 30 minutes drilling the movements to make that happen, you know, for you to be able to, if a bigger opponent's laying across from you and they have all their weight on you, what do you do to get their weight up off you and get out from underneath them safely and then attack them. And over again, just working out the details. And it's amazing how much it looks like we're not doing anything. It looks like you're just flopping around, or it looks like you're just swinging a hand there, positioning a hand there. But it's amazing how much technique you're memorizing. And it's amazing how much, how technical it is just getting up. You wouldn't think that there's so many movements and where your hand needs to be placed and where you're leveraging and where you're balancing your weight and where you're basing so that you don't fall over while you're pushing them off of you. And you wouldn't think so many things go into it, you know, getting up, but it's a lot. And it's amazing to think that, I'm using the word amazing a lot tonight, but we'll run with it. That a white belt does it one way and it's the right way, but a black belt does it a completely different way. It's the same way. But it's so much more efficient, so much smoother, it's shorter, it's more effective. And that's just through repetition, just throwing up and just showing up and getting the technique, drilling it over and over and over again, and being relentless in the pursuit of perfection, which doesn't exist. And we'll get to that later. No, we'll get to that now. When I say perfection doesn't exist, actually Customato talks about it too when he was training his boxers, and the way that he said it, and he said it the best, was that perfection doesn't exist. And the reason why perfection doesn't exist is because what you think is perfect changes the better you get with anything that you're doing. You know, think about it with sports, you know, golf swing, baseball swing, softball swing, you know, taking a shot for the basket. When you're working on getting better at any of those techniques, you know, running your stride, jiu-jitsu, what you think is good, like what I think as a white belt is the perfect triangle, is going to be completely different than what I think is a perfect triangle for a black belt, because of the efficiency of how I'll know to maneuver the technique, the repetition. You know, most black belts, it takes them 10 years to acquire that, right? So imagine 1.5 years of doing a technique versus 10 years, the type of efficiency, the difference that you're just gonna, of just feeling it, just doing it over and over again. It's gonna be a completely different type of perfection. So it's the same thing, it never exists. It doesn't, the word perfect doesn't exist. But you can achieve it. You can try to achieve it. And when you do, yeah, when you achieve perfect, that changes. It's just like, you know, and that's why it's not perfect, because if it was perfect, it wouldn't need to be get better. But it's the same thing with black belts. Like, a lot of people feel that when they become a black belt, that's it, you're done, you've mastered it, and you walk off. And a lot of people that don't train jiu-jitsu or aren't martial artists don't realize that when you reach a black belt, that's just the beginning of the journey. You know, all black belt is saying is that you put in the time and that you know that it doesn't necessarily reflect how well you know the technique. But if you're wearing a black belt and there's somebody that is a black belt that knows the technique well enough to say, if you have mastered it enough to, you know, wear something like that around your waist, which is one of the highest achievements you can achieve in any martial art. It's an amazing achievement. But a lot of black belts, when you talk to them, as humble as they are, and after putting 10 years into it, they're not running around parading their achievement and how happy they are and they're the best and no one can beat them and they're tapping everybody out in the gym. A lot of them are just, they're just looking up at another mountain, and they're going to keep climbing. And the fact that they have a black belt around their belt, I would not doubt that they're going to continue to get better and they're going to get stripes. And they're going to match this technique even more. And that's one thing that I like about jiu-jitsu. You can never, it doesn't end. There's never, I know it all. I'm the best. You know, there's no one better than me. There's nothing left to learn. I've done it all, or I mastered it. No, because there's always new technique. There's always a better way. There's always a shorter route. There's always new competition that's going to force you to move differently. And there's always, it's always evolving. It's never ending. It's always evolving. And these new cats that are coming into the game, they're just bringing, they're mastering technique at a different level, different type of technique with different type of flexibility. They're starting at a younger age, so they're being exposed to more, and they're hitting their 10-year marks way younger in their career. So it's just a different game out there. So no one can ever walk around and say that jiu-jitsu I've mastered and I'm because I'm a black belt. It doesn't really work that way. And that's one thing I like about Matt. He's very humble in that regards, that, you know, just because he's a black belt does not mean that he's anywhere close to being done. You know, it really is like a reset. And now after you've mastered the techniques, now you have to master the application of them, right? That's a whole different ball game. And then there's other black belts that are your competition that you have to, you know, grow and learn and beat. But yeah, it's an amazing journey. There's nothing called perfection in that regards. I don't remember why I was talking about perfection, but it's important that people know that there's no way that you can really be perfect, you know, if you're really trying to get better. But anyway, getting back to tonight's class, so we were talking about, you know, we were working through all those techniques, and I was able to roll with some of the guys after class, and, you know, talking about perfection, there's a guy that I used to roll with when I was training a lot, Cody. And I'm not calling him out, but I'm giving him a shout out, because tonight was really impressive to see it. So I had an injury about 4 months ago where I severed a tendon in my middle finger on my left hand. And it's been doing fairly well as far as movement. I don't have much strength in it, but it's swollen tremendously. So I don't want to stop rolling because of it. So I just tape it up to my other finger and I just roll tonight. And tonight when I roll with Cody, who, when we were rolling back in the day, his technique was completely different. His confidence was completely different. And His application of technique was completely different. And what I'm saying about, you know, 1% better every day and just being consistent at showing up and just showing up, really, that's what it is showing up, applying yourself. And tonight I was rolling with this kid, Cody. Man, he put it on me. And it's strange because before it wasn't like that at all. I'm going to be bashful about it. Like, I didn't really struggle with him. I was always trying to let him work. And he worked. He was always working, you know, like if we were doing a 5-minute round, he gave you everything he got all the way from the start of the bell to the end of it. And tonight he really worked me. And it's not a testament to how long I haven't been going. It's nothing whatsoever. It's a testament to how much better he's gotten. And in just his movement and how he was applying the technique, his balance, his connection, and his weight distribution was just complete. It was different. It was nothing I've really felt before. So it's neat to see that, to see how quickly someone can develop, and especially with the way that Matt Secor teaches. It's just a conceptual approach to the sport or to the art. And it's like I was struggling with him today. Like, it wasn't even a matter of a struggle. It was a fight. And I like that. And that's why I went in there. And that's what I was looking for. And everybody that I roll with tonight gave me that. And I think there's something, like I said, there's something about getting into a fight, you know, that type of high level, fast problem solving, being calm, you know, it's one thing that I used to really struggle with. Is just staying calm in uncomfortable situations. Now I could fake the calmness, but I wasn't calm inside. There was a storm and I was panicking, and, you know, I could bluff it a little bit. And if you really looked, you could see that I was uncomfortable. But now that I have something like jiu-jitsu, what you learn about being calm is you learn what being calm is. When you have somebody that's on top of you, that's 220 pounds, and they have their hand over your mouth, and their chest on your sternum, and they're pushing all their weight into the mat, trying to prevent you from breathing, you have to stay calm. Because if you're not, guess what? You stop breathing, because your body's going to breathe. You're going to work harder. You're going to breathe harder. You're going to use more oxygen, and you're going to get tired real fast. And the more tired you get, the less possibility of pushing this big person off of you. So it's all counterintuitive. So for you to just be able to get calm, it means you have to be in that position multiple times and get used to knowing that nothing's going to happen to me. I've been here before. And that's the same thing with life, with anything that people are doing. And it was a part of one of the points that I was trying to make with making sure that when you're doing comedy, you get to the open mics. It's a form of repetition that develops muscle memory, that develops self-belief, that develops confidence. Because you've been there, you've done it more than once. You know what I mean? You know what the feel is. You know what it's like when the MC calls your name and everybody starts clapping, and you're walking up to the stage and you're reaching for the mic, and when you're pulling the mic off of the stand and you're hoping that you can swing the cord out of the way so the mic doesn't get tangled up in the stand, and then you're looking out, the lights hit you, there's this little quiet, calm pause, and just the stillness in the room that you're in full control of, that you're fully responsible for. It's a lot of pressure. And then when you look out and everyone's staring at you, you know, and if you really look, you can see the doubt in some of their faces. And if you really look, you can see the belief in others' faces. And some people just don't know what to expect. And you have to react. And you have to perform. And you have to recite everything that you practice memorizing. And it might not be funny, but you still have to show up, and you still have to do it, and you still have to get it done. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And it's the same thing with jiu-jitsu. It's the same thing with comedy. It's the same thing with anything you do. Reading poetry, doing an open mic and reading a poem. It's the same thing. It's going to be the same ambiance. It's going to be the same setting. But it's you getting comfortable in that situation, getting comfortable with the feelings that are going to be in your stomach and the head trash that's going to be floating around in your mind. And if you don't know what head trash is, it's very important that you familiarize yourself with it, so that when it happens, you can prevent it, you can counteract it. So what head trash is bullshit. That's what head trash is. Head trash is the bullshit you tell yourself. Like, for example, what I used to tell myself when I had to do cold calls was that, you know, cold calls were pointless and that they never gave results that you wanted, and it's an old archaic dinosaur thing and just a bunch of bullshit. So it affected my attitude and how I was doing it, because I had the wrong attitude, the performance was poor. And because if performance was poor, I was, you know, I was kind of proving myself right, but I wasn't giving it the right approach. So it was head trash, you know? And once you get head trash out of your mind, automatically it's like a weight lifting up and your performance improves. So once I changed my attitude about doing the cold call sales and the results that I was trying to get, then the naturally the output became better. I got better at it. My attitude became better at it. And the results were more positive than they were before. So head trash, you have to wrap your mind around head trash before it wraps itself around you and just strangles you. And there's a lot of people that have it in their mind, you know, and they don't realize it. They're just kicking it around. And what is head trash? If I were to put it into one word, it's doubt. And doubt is the, it's like the kryptonite to self-confidence. And there's only one way to really combat doubt, to really, you know, focus and make it change into a belief, which I believe is the complete opposite of doubt, belief. And it's by showing the results. It's by proving it wrong. If someone says that you're bad at something, or if you feel that you're bad at something, they're going to have doubt when you do it. So the only way to remove that doubt is to get better at that thing and do it so often that it becomes undoubtedly the complete opposite of what you originally thought. You know, like Larry Bird, what he was known for is every summer he would pick something that he could work on. So if he was bad at going at it to his left, dribbling to his left, then for that whole summer, that's what he would work on, going to the left. That's all he would do. He wouldn't go to the right when he was playing a game. Just practice it relentlessly like a demon over and over and over and over again. So now when it was time to go to the left, he was better at it, probably than he was at going to his right, to the point that he went to his left so much and got so good at it that going to his right was as bad. It was you know, wasn't as good as him going to his left. So you guys get the point. And it's that kind of like obsession that really makes, that sets people apart. And it's that type of obsession that when I'm training with, you know, Matt, or I'm training with Deja, or I'm training with Chris or Sharon or Samson, or, you know, any of the guys that are in that gym or any of the girls in that gym, they're just, their tenacity towards getting better is unlike anything that I've seen before. And when you surround yourself with those type of people, you're going to get better. And I know that it's not just in our gym. I'm fortunate that I'm surrounded by so many of them that just show up every day just to get that work and get better, and just 1% every day. You know, it's a weird concept, but it's true. It works. Like, people say, well, you can't get 1% better every day because at the end of the year, it'll be 365. No, that's not, no. You know, because you're not, no. We're not doing the math, Steve Urkel. Just think about it. It's a concept that no matter what, pick something different every day then, you know, what do you consider better, you know? That's the real focus, just like that mentality and finding something else to improve on. Like, it won't be 365% because there's no such thing as perfection. You're just constantly working to get better. And once you become the best, try to become better than that by beating yourself and beating your own personal records. That's how you keep on going. That's, you know, it's really just never going to change. And I'm glad that I did that, like I said, because it just gave me a recharge and a big reboost to kind of go out and kick the rest of the week's ass. This finger was in my way. And, you know, like I said, 4 months ago, I cut the tendon in my finger, and I don't have the strength that I won't need, and it looks swollen. I just taped it up. I'm going to continue to tape it up, because what I realized today, once again, is, you know, when I was on those mats, and I'm doing that high-level problem solving, and I'm trying not to get choked, And I'm trying to get through, just to get through those that round. I'm looking at the clock and I'm out of breath, I'm sweating, and it's not like being in the gym. It's different. It's, you're constantly thinking, you're constantly working, there's constant resistance. And if you make a mistake or you give up, you get hurt. So your mind is constantly, like, it's constantly fighting against you. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of the times when you're tired, what you want to do and what you're capable to do are two different things. So your mind is telling you to do this and your body is like, I can't. it's literally yelling that back at you. And it sounds weird to people listening. Why would you want to put yourself in that type of situation? How is that rewarding and fun to you? And it's because I know what the results of that can bring throughout the rest of your life. That type of confidence to know that, you know, if a physical alteration were to break loose right now between me and this person, that I would be in full control. And, you know, if I ran into some kind of psychopath on the road, or, you know, just out and I was with my family or with my friends, that, you know, I would be able to restrain this person. And that type of confidence is very important. And I know, because of the sport or the art that I'm studying, that I can say what I want, you know? And that's a very important thing. A lot of people don't say what they want. I feel there's a lot of women, there's a lot of kids that don't say what they want because they're afraid of what can happen on the physical sense of things. And that's why I'm such a big advocate for self-defense, because you should never feel that way. I know that throughout the day, when I'm training, that the hardest thing I'm going to be doing is going inside that gym. And probably the most difficult person I'll be facing are my opponents inside that gym. And so when I'm having to have a word conversation with my boss, when I have to have a uncomfortable conversation with a stranger that I'm just passing through with, I'm not worried about it, because it's not good. If it escalates, I'm ready for that. And the furthest place it could go to escalating, like, that's the worst place, is some kind of physical altercation. And I'm prepared for that mentally and physically, and I train for that. So it's just a different way to look at your day, and to keep things into perspective. Just having that perspective and having that type of a discipline, and having those people in your life. You know, Sherwin, when I walked in, I mean, he was the happiest. He was so happy to see me, you know. And we got right to it. As soon as we got on the mat, he's just like the coach that he is, just working on my technique, showing me what I'm doing wrong and showing me what I'm doing right, and not stopping until I get it right. And, you know, it's funny when we talk about, you know, friends, right? All of us know that there's friends that are toxic that we shouldn't keep around us, because when you're around them, you end up doing things that, you know, aren't necessarily the best decisions, you know. And sometimes they just keep you distracted from getting things done because you just have such a good time with them, and that's the rapport that you have. And then there's those people that, if you hang out with them, they're the one that wants you to go to the gym with them. They're the ones that want you to, you know, just get out and do positive things. You really, for some reason, we're just not attracted. Like, we're not pulled to those people. We have to be, like, motivated, because we know it's going to take energy to get it done. And it's weird. It's a weird thing. But when you're training, I know that we're not the only gym that's like, those people that are inside that gym that are training jiu-jitsu, if you're a jiu-jitsu practitioner, majority of those people that are consistently going are like that. They're those people that are going to push you, and they're going to be 100% dedicated to making you better. For sometimes it's selfish reasons, because then it pushes them to get better. But when you have someone that's in your life that's really selfishly dedicated to making you better, that's like an opportunity to get better, you know? It's different from someone that's, you know, trying to motivate you. That's completely different. You know, motivation is, it's temporary. It comes and it goes. So I don't rely on motivation at all, because it's temporary. If you guys rely on motivation through another person, that's also temporary. You look at it. A lot of times when I've done it, we've all done it. We get a workout partner. Why? Because they're going to keep us motivated. And then once that workout partner stops being motivated, what happens? You lose your motivation. And how often does that happen? A lot. Because motivation comes and goes. So you can't rely on it. You can be motivated. You can have a purpose and a drive, something that's pushing you. But motivation, that's a completely different thing. So people that are in the art that are doing it, it's not temporary. They're there every day. So when you show up, they're not like cheerleading. They're not, you know, coaching you along. We're having popcorn and shish kebabs. we're focused and they're focused. And you're like, you're stepping into the school that everyone's learning, and all they're doing is just continuing their learning. And when you stopped, they continued learning. So there's more that they can teach you, and they're there to teach you. So it's amazing. So it's not motivation. It's just a regular day at the gym. You know, these guys are just doing what they do every single day. No one's special in there. It's like everyone's working. Everyone's trying to get better. A lot of people have demons. You know, what are demons? Demons are things that haunt you, that, you know, they kind of hold you down, and only you can really understand why, you know, they have such an impact on them, you know, and they're attached to you, and they follow you out throughout your life, and they're always bad. And some of it can be drugs. Some of it can be another person. Some of it can be just, you know, just, you just feel like you're down, you have bad luck. And then some of it can be just bad habits, you know, just bad habits, just being in the wrong place and just staying in those places for the wrong reasons. And because you're in those places, you're getting yourself in trouble and you're not getting better. You're getting worse. And when you're on that mat and you're spending those times training, those 3-4 hours or 1 hour or half an hour, whatever it is, it's less time that you can be doing those things. And like I said, if you're preparing for those, for the mat training that night, you know, making sure you eat, making sure that you drink your water, making sure you get your rest, making sure that everything in your day is in order so you can train and not have to worry about anything else, cool. Guess what? You don't have time for those demons because you're staying on track. And I'll tell you what, if you start slipping up, because I haven't, like I said, I haven't trained in a while, and these guys did not hold back on me tonight, and rightfully so, because even though I had this finger, I didn't tell anybody to hold back, and they did hold back in terms of, you know, they were all very respectful and very aware of my finger because they're just damn good training mates. But they didn't, put it this way, they worked me so the same way someone would if they were attacking me on the streets. That's how they worked me, because you know what, as a training partner, that's kind of what your responsibility is. No, kind of, it is what your responsibility is, to make sure that the person you're working with, the training partner, you give them 100% of what you have, so that when they go out, that they're prepared for that type of effort from somebody else. And that's what I love about that school. That's another thing that I love, is that these guys give you everything they got 100% of the time. And if you're slacking, they're going to let you know. Not in just through words, but how they're handling you and how they're rolling with you. And that's an important thing to have in a school, to have that type of honesty and have that type of commitment. And the reason why I'm telling you guys this about jiu-jitsu is you can see the impact it has on me. And I know, because of the people that I roll with, is that it's going to have the same impact on people that are struggling with things. A lot of people have reached out to me about the confidence episode that I did, and I really appreciate the feedback. You guys, like I said, are the best, literally. Days after I post stuff, people reach out to me on social media, and they reach out to me on Facebook, and they just give me the feedback, and I really appreciate that. But a big part of the confidence that I have is because of jiu-jitsu. You know, it's erased some of the doubt that I've had. And like I said, doubt is like the kryptonite to belief. And without belief, you can't have self-confidence. And what training jiu-jitsu has done from my journey from a white belt, not really knowing anything, to a blue belt, to kind of not knowing anything, it's just shown me that I've been able to surprise myself. And I surprised myself because I'm older now, and I didn't think that I would be able to do a lot of the stuff that is being done inside that school. These guys are amazing. Just the way that they move, how strong they are, how physical they are, the technique that they're using. This isn't complicated stuff. It's almost like a scientist breaking it down, the way Matt breaks these details down and how much details are involved in everything that you're doing. but he does it in a way that it's digestible. You can understand it, you know. But I didn't think that I'd be able to execute the way that I am, and it's not just because of me at all. It's because of the team that's around me and the people that are there. And when you show up to the gym, it's like they all want you there, you know. They all want you there working with them, and they will do whatever they can to keep you motivated, to keep showing up. If you're not, they'll send you a text, hey, what's going on? Because they care about you. They want you, selfishly, they want you in the gym so they have a training partner, another body type to roll with. And, you know, they know by rolling with someone that's good, they're going to get better. And that selfishness is part of their drive. And it's a good selfishness, you know. And through getting better with jiu-jitsu and being able to come in, and there were guys that I used to struggle with that now I can, well, I don't know about now, but I got into a point where I was keeping up with them, you know. And it's not about being tapped, it's not about tapping them, it's about, you know, understanding the technique, understanding what they're trying to do, being able to maneuver that, and being able to overcome their strengths and overcome your weaknesses to make them strengths that they can't overcome. And that type of growth and that type of development, I mean, if you don't have that in your life, it's hard for you to understand the impact it can have. But if you're missing something, jiu-jitsu may be the answer. I feel wholeheartedly, no matter what, anything that you do physical, as far as working out, running, you know, training for something, it's going to be better for your mind. You know, you need something physical, at least, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes of something daily to just get your mind activated, get your heart rate up and get the blood going. But when you can do that and then mix in problem solving, and then also mix in a benefit of something that's usable throughout the rest of your day or the rest of your life, it's being able to self-defense. It's a bonus across the board. So I mentioned self-belief, and there's something important about that. So a lot of people don't understand the tie-in between self-belief and confidence. But if you are just confident, you're just walking around with this air of confidence with no real belief behind it, it's kind of, people can read through that. And you're just setting yourself up for failure because you're just going to get caught with your pants down. You know, it's really simple. But I think self-belief, I know the greats, before they were great, they had forced self-belief. And what that is like, you know, it's like before I got the school record, I was walking around calling myself champ, right? Saying that I was the best and I was the fastest in school. But that was before I even got the record. So I was forcing that on, saying that I was the best and walking around with that type of air and having a red Cavalier with, listen to this, with a red stripe across the black windshield that said, was a red stripe and in bright yellow words, like bright yellow, right? There's only one type of yellow. Anyway, all eyes on me. Oh my gosh. So that's the type of confidence I had. And that was the self-belief that I had. And it was the self-belief that was backed by my performance. And it was a self-belief that was backed by my coach. But it was forced because I hadn't done anything to show that I could run with the time that I needed to run to get the school record. But I just know with the hard work, and that I was seeing that time was coming off of my time and that I was getting faster, that I was just going to continue until I reached that school record. And that's exactly what I did. And I think a lot of these people, like, you know, Seinfeld, oh, I got it right, got it right. or, you know, Jamie Foxx or Eddie Murphy, any of these really super talented comedians that I would, in their own means and by many means and in certain categories, are the best. They believe that. They had that forced self-belief before it was really even true. And a lot of people have to have that. And you know, there's things that people don't realize. Some of the head trash that we have inside our head were put there by somebody. And if you trace it, you can trace it back if you really, really think about it. Because no one wakes up with doubt inside of them. No one's born with doubt. It's instilled inside of you. through, you know, a parent, unfortunately, close friends, unfortunately, enemies, unfortunately, bullies. They all of them at some point can get this stuff to get stuck in your head, and you walk around with this doubt that's inside you. You don't know where it came from, but you believe it because of who put it there and because of the authority they had in your life. And it's not true. And it's amazing if you don't have the right person in your life to help you overcome that, how that type of weight can haunt you for the rest of the life and have a huge impact on your self-confidence. And what I've been able to do is I've been very fortunate is that I've had people that came into my life that were in a very, very authoritative position that put a belief in me that was counterintuitive to the belief that I had prior to meeting them. So, for example, Ron Riggi. He was my first, like, real boss when I got out of college. Right at RPI, I went to work for his company. And it was life-changing because he saw something in me that I didn't see. And he saw it way before I could. And he identified that, and he just believed in me. And he instilled that belief in me and through things that he would do. Because when I was younger, I was an asshole. I was an asshole, and I was an asshole in elementary school and in high school. And when I was in elementary school, what I would do is I would goof off and laugh and be a comedian, literally be a comedian and stand up in front of the class and put on a show. A lot of times I didn't do it at the best times, and it was disruptive in class. So I got in trouble for it. But the reason that I was doing it was because, you know, I wanted attention. But in getting that and trying to get that attention, it resulted in me being stupid. Like, I would literally try to get the lowest grade in class so that everyone would laugh how stupid I was. And I thought that was funny. I don't even know if I thought that was funny. I just knew that I was getting attention that other people weren't getting. I like how the laughter made me feel. And, you know, I felt like the center of attention, all eyes on me, right? And that's what I wanted. That was more important to the grades because I didn't understand, you know. And to be honest with you, my parents couldn't read. They were immigrants from Jamaica, but they were just super hardworking. And a lot of people will joke about Jamaicans having 5 or 6 jobs. But a lot of them, when they first came over, they had to, because that's the only way you'd be able to afford a house in Saratoga Springs and support a family of 6 kids, is to work all those jobs. But anyway, the fact is my parents really didn't take education very serious because they never had to, because they could, you know, through their hard work, they could still be successful. And that's what they were. They were successful. So when I fooled around like that, people thought that I was a dunce. And that's the Jamaican term for a dunce. And here it's stupid. So I went from, I've had that belief in me that I was a dunce, right? And when I say dunce, that was stupid. And when I would struggle in class with things, I would think I was stupid because of what, of my action. It was my action, my behavior led people to believe that I was that, and I would struggle with class. And my parents, when they got these tests with these low grades on them, they didn't think I was because I was being funny and I wanted everyone to show that I got a 13 or I got a 15 or I got a 0. And they would laugh. My parents thought, wow, he's just not getting it. And so they were really worried that I was dunce. Unfortunately, I had a sister that read through all my bullshit and made sure that I wasn't. And she knew that I wasn't a dunce, and she knew what I was doing, that I was just trying to get attention just to get the girls to laugh. I've always been this, you know, ladies' man. Not really, but I've tried to through comedy. And she called my bluff. And every day, you know, my mother and my father really couldn't read very well. They couldn't read and write very well. But my sister, oh my goodness, that's all she focused on. Like, I can picture it now. She would grab me and she would sit me down and she would put the biggest book that you would, they were all huge because it was usually her college textbooks that she was working on because she was working on something and she was going to be the first to graduate from college and she was going to be the first to get her degree. And she was the first person. Like, if you listen to my earlier podcast, I talk about, you know, my brother giving me the gift of speed. you know, my sister, my older sister, Diane, gave me the gift of knowledge. Of she let me know how important education is, and she drilled it into me. You know, she made sure that, you know, even though my mother didn't know how important it was for me to pass some of these tests or to get, you know, 85s and 95s, and she understood it. Diane understood the impact of it, and she knew that I was bullshitting in class, and she used to say it. I can, in Jamaican, I can say it, but you wouldn't understand. But said, my bread on a dunce. That's what I should say, and I say it that laughing because I used to hear that every day when she was sitting me down and forcing me to read. And while I was reading out loud, she would be studying. You know what I mean? I'm reading out loud. She's making sure that I'm reading these big-ass words that were longer than me. And she's just studying like a machine. I'm looking at her. We're at the kitchen table. Like, you ever see those movies where there's this investigation going on? There's this big bright light shining down this round table. Well, picture that, but the table's long. It's a kitchen table. And you have this pretty black girl sitting at the end with two piles of books piled like four high, right? These thick college textbooks with this big pen that was longer than her arm in her hand, and she's writing away with looking down super attentive. And every time I would mess up a word, it threw me off because I would be looking at the word, it would be spelled out in front of me, and I wouldn't know how to pronounce it, and she would just correct me. Like, I would be insatiable. She's like, insatiable. You know what I mean? Or I wouldn't even come I wouldn't even come close, and she would know what the word is. I can't think of a good example now, but you guys get the point. And if you do, just make something funny up in your head. You figure it out. But she was phenomenal with that. And it quickly took me out of the special ed classes that I was in. And that was kind of when she backed off, when she realized, see, when she finally said to me, see, Yana Dunce, which is, see, you're not stupid. And she didn't think I was stupid. And she never let any of that shit sink into my head that I was being told. And she never let me believe it, you know? Because at one point I did, but she erased it. And then when Ron came into my life and he gave me the belief, because he was one of the most successful businessmen in the area. And as a bartender, we would talk all the time. And he would always tell me, you know, some of the things that were going on with his company. He had people traveling all over the world. And every time we had that conversation, it would just entice me more and more to want to work for him. You know, he would come in and he would tip me, you know, $20 for keeping the ice cold and another $20 for, you know, keeping the water wet, you know. And that's just how he was. That's how he treated money. That's his outlook on money. And coming from a family that I came from, I never saw that before. So to be exposed to something like that was, it was very powerful and it was very impactful on me. So when I told him that I was going to work for him, which is exactly what I did, and I remember when we were talking about it after years of me working with him, he told me, you know why I hired you? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, you were the first person in all my years that told me they were going to work for me. Didn't ask. And I just thought that was a good sign of a good salesman. So that always stayed with me. But for him to say, okay, I'm going to give this kid a shot, that type of belief and the fact that he believed in me enough to take a shot on me was something that I wasn't going to fail at anything that he put in front of me. And, you know, one thing that was amazing about him was, there's that word amazing again. One thing that was amazing about him was even when I succeeded, he always found something that I could improve on. And it wasn't something to cut me down. It wasn't anything that would, you know, deteriorate the success, or, you know, it was to make me better, because he taught me about self-reflection. Self-reflection is the most important thing that you can do. I mentioned it earlier when I just started the podcast, is that, you know, after self-reflection, I realized that I hadn't been training, and I realized this obstacle that I had to get over is my finger. So I taped that bad boy up and I'm training again, and it feels great. It's 1 o'clock and I'm excited to do this podcast. I'm fired up to do this podcast. And why? It's because I got fired up from training. I was short circuiting a little bit and I got that boost. So, you know, that was all through just self-reflection. He always would teach me to do that. After a deal, we would sit down, you know, we did some big deals. We would do some big deals and we would sit down and we would just reflect on what we thought was going to happen, what actually happened? Why was our thought wrong? How could we, you know, how could we have caught that? If we would have caught that, what would we have done differently? You know, that's, think about that. After a success, after you win, the contract is there, it's signed, services are starting. You're still reflecting on what you could have done better, because another deal's coming and you're going to be put in the same situation. And this time you want to be prepared so you don't make the same mistake. And that was after every deal. If I did 5 deals in one day, it was that same conversation, maybe not in the same day, but every deal was going to, we were going to sell for you. We're going to go through and evaluate. And you know, when you start doing that, when you're performing at such a level where someone like that is endorsing you, you know, I remember Warren Buffett said, a compliment from someone that is incredible isn't a compliment, right? So there's multiple ways to attack that. And I'm going to say, I don't even know if Warren Buffett said it exactly that, because I'm sure it sounded better, but I'm going to break down what I'm trying to say. It's basically this. You know, when your mom comes up to you and says, hey, that's a nice dunk, that's completely different than when Michael Jordan comes up to you and taps you on the shoulder and say, hey, that's a nice jump or dunk. Oh, God, I cannot wait for the pushback on that. But you know what? I'm not scratching it. I said jump, and Michael Jordan could say, yeah, that was a nice jump. All right. Just like he could say it's a nice dunk. Michael Jordan could say whatever he wants. The point is, when Michael Jordan says it, because he's the greatest, it's a lot different than when your mother says it, because she's your mom and she's being nice, you know? Same thing with when your friends say to you, oh, that's really funny, and then you go up on stage and no one's laughing. You know, if Kevin Hart comes up to you and says, that's really funny, that's a lot different. So it's the same thing. So when I had someone that was one of the best businessmen in the world believing to put me on a plane, fly me first class all the way over to Dubai to close on a $1.2 million deal, and I have to talk to a sultan, and I have to recruit the future area representative for Pakistan in a meeting the next day in Karachi. Like, the first class, that's belief. Fly me all the way across the world, that's belief. And when someone does that to you, and someone instills that much belief in you, then that forced belief becomes real belief, because it's reality, because you're doing it every day. So no one can tell you you're not good at sales. No one can tell you you're dunce. Because if I was a dunce, like that belief that was put into me when I was so young, I wouldn't be flying first class to Dubai to talk to a sultan about a $1.2 million deal. I wouldn't have graduated from RPI with honors. It just doesn't happen. And if I would have believed what they had told me, then that wouldn't have happened. So all of these things that I'm talking about is, it's all about putting yourself in a situation to be successful and surrounding yourself with people that want you to be successful. And you can't do it by yourself. It's very difficult. Like when I was coming out of depression, a lot of it was because I was training with people that were in jiu-jitsu that dealt with depression, so they understand it. And I was surrounding myself with these positive people, and that constant exposure to positive things made me more positive, because you see how they deal with things. You see how they deal with problems. You see how they conserve all their energy. They're not going to get pissed off and start slamming on the horn and start beeping outrageously because someone is driving slow in front of them. They're going to save that for trying to push the 220-pound person off of you when they're laying sideways on top of you when you're on the ground, that they're going to be doing at 6:30 for 2 hours. So that type of reality is different. It's a completely different ball game. And that self-belief that I'm talking about, you know, you can develop it yourself with the right type of self-reflection and just being honest with yourself. The results are going to be awesome. Just finding out who put that doubt in you. And then if you're really good, if you're lucky to do that, sometimes you can even pinpoint who put that doubt in the person that's putting the doubt into you. You know, sometimes it's a parent, and their parent did the same thing. They didn't know better. You know, I don't know if they know better or if they were just abusive or whatever you want to call it. Every situation was different, right? Like mine was self-inflicted to a certain degree with those low test scores, but it wasn't true. And I had the right people that came into my life to make sure and reinforce that that wasn't true. And it's the same thing with what's going on when I go to the gym. The people that when you walk in, the way they greet you, you know, the way that they're so focused on. I haven't been in the gym in so long, and they're still talking to me and giving me the details of someone that's going to be there every single day, like that has been there every single day. And they're focused on making sure that I get better. And man, if you don't have that in your life, come in. Just come roll with us. Just when I say I'm going to roll, just literally come in and roll with us, and you'll see it's a completely different experience when you're surrounding yourself with that. Some people say, oh, it's an hour drive, or it's a 2-hour commute, or whatever. You know, if a doctor was going to give you a drug that made sure, gave 100% guaranteed that you were going to improve on whatever element that you had, you know, if you were feeling lazy, if you were feeling depressed, if you were, you know, wanting to lose weight, if you, you know, just feel like you don't belong on this earth and that you are a piece of shit. And if he gave you a pill that said, if you take this, you know, 3-4 times a week, you're going to feel better. And if you do this for 3 months, you're going to be cured. Why wouldn't you do that? So it's the same thing with, I'm saying jujitsu, but just, and I'm going to stick to jujitsu. I'm not going to try to sell you on anything else. I'm going to stick to jujitsu. If I told you jujitsu could do that, why wouldn't you try it? Just try it. And the gym's important. The gym does make a difference in whether you stay or you go. It's because when you walk in the door, what the people are trying to do, are they trying to use you as a body type? Just someone else to beat up and roll around? Or are they trying to, you know, bring you in and accept you and make you part of a family so you can grow and develop yourself and become a better person, you know? Matt always says when he's inside that school and he's training everybody and he's teaching them, he's not just trying to make them a better martial artist. He's trying to make them the best version of themselves. And I'll tell you this. Since I walked into that school, I'm getting a lot closer to being a better version of myself. And it's a difficult thing to do. And you wouldn't realize that something as physical as jujitsu or, you know, would bring you there. But there's just a lot of, it's the invisible part of the jujitsu that I talk about. You know, when I go in and I see these kids that are working with these coaches and the relationship that they develop. And you watch these kids when they first step on the mat, they're some of them are scared, some of them are lost, a little bit unfocused. And then you watch them develop and you watch them start to, you see the technique and understand it. And then you see them apply the technique in real life situations. And you see the confidence they get from it, from their successes. And you see how they deal with their failures in real life situation. Because I told you, when you fail in jujitsu, sometimes it can result in you being hurt or feeling a little bit super uncomfortable by being choked or tapped. And these kids deal with it. And then when they walk off of the mat, it's the same thing. Their decisions change. Their ability to make decisions change. Their confidence and the decisions that they make change. And how they interact with you as an adult change, because they know if something goes wrong, they get uncomfortable, they can do something about it. They can get away from you, you know, or they can defend themselves. And I think that's important to have. And that was one thing that I always worried about, you know, when I was thinking about becoming a parent, is what would my kids do when I'm not around? Are they going to have the problem solving capabilities to make the right decision, make the best decision for them under, you know, a stressful situation, a high stress situation? And you know what? It's nice to see in jujitsu some of these kids out there, you're watching them in these stressful situations, these high pressure situations, apply the technique, make the decisions. Like, that's exactly what you're doing. When someone's trying to choke you, what are you doing? It's high level problem solving to get away from it. Okay, separate my body. How am I going to create space? How am I going to move to remove the threat and reverse the threat and apply it to them, you know? And these kids are doing it. And the type of that, I just think every kid should get that. Because I think when you have self-confidence, it protects your belief system, you know? And that's probably, that's one of the most important things that you can have. Is your own real belief system, that for self belief, and then that real belief, and that being humble enough to kind of keep it all under control, because too much self belief turns into an ego, and then you're just an asshole, and then nobody wins, even yourself. So it's important, and it's important to have people in your, these figures that, like my sister and like Ron Riggi, that, you know, they're 100% and committed to making you better, and they're 100%, and they have a track record that shows whatever you're trying to do, they've done it on a much higher level. So they know what the hell they're talking about, and they were successful at it, so they know what they're talking about. And when they say that you're good, guess what? You're good. Like when I got out of those classes, finally, those dunce classes, you know, my sister said, "See, I told you." And, you know, with Ron, same thing. When I would come back from some of these trips, and we would work through these orders, and they'd finally come in, and he'd walk into my office and say, "See, I told you." It meant a lot. And it's powerful, because when someone like that is telling you that you're good, it's bad for the competition, because there's no way that they're going to beat you, because you know you're the best, because the best is telling you that you're the best, and you're going to perform at that level, so that there's no possible way for doubt to seep into what you're doing. And when you build rituals and you build routines and you become disciplined, guess what? That doubt is just not there. It's just not there. Like, there was a lot of doubt in me tonight, if I'm being honest, about being on the mat. I just didn't know if I was going to be able to execute the way I wanted to. I don't feel as my timing is off. I know that that's definitely part of it as well. And my endurance is way off. My stamina has dropped tremendously. So all those things are why I'm going to be going back tomorrow. And I'm going to be doing the same thing. And I'm going to go in twice as hard. And what I was saying today earlier about it being the most difficult part of my day is, now it's 2:00 in the morning. And I got to be up in a few hours. And I don't even care, because I know I'm going to flip up right out of that bed and be ready to get the day started, and being excited that episode 17 is finally out there and I'm closer to my goal. And this is all because I rolled today. All this energy, this burst, it's because I rolled today. I got up, I knew that's what I was going to be doing, I knew that was going to be a part of my day, and sleep is going to feel good because I'm exhausted. I mean, these guys really kicked my ass today, and I'm grateful for that. So I want to wrap this up. It's not the episode that I wanted to do, to be honest with you, but I just really just wanted to get this out, because I think that people need to understand that there's being physical out there, getting into, you know, martial art, getting into just a regimented workout program, just getting your blood flowing, getting your heart rate going, it does have an impact on you. It does have an impact on your energy levels. It does have an impact on your outlook throughout the day. And it does help you stay, you know, focused. You know, I think, and yeah, I think it's important to share that. And why not do it when you can do, and then get the added benefit of being able to defend yourself at the end of the day, you know? And I want to thank everybody that's been listening to the podcast. It's been great. The feedback has been phenomenal. We all know that. The ratings on iTunes are awesome. 5 stars so far, and that's not me because of me. That's because of you guys just being awesome with the feedback, giving me direction on what you guys want to hear, the interaction. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the support. It's growing. Every time I look at the stats, every episode I release, it's just growing organically, and I like that. And don't hesitate to reach out to me on my Facebook, and don't hesitate to reach out to me on my my Instagram. You can just reach me on by Milton Young. It's real simple. And share with me any questions you have or any feedback that you might have about the episode, or tell me if you finally met a black Paul. Be very interested to know that. Good luck with that one. And I really appreciate everything that you guys are doing and supporting me for this dream that I have and making it a reality. I have some awesome guests coming up in the next week. We're really going to be stepping up the interview portion of it. So the solo podcast, I've really get into a nice little rhythm with them. And I feel like there's going to be a white belt in two things here. Well, advancement in my belts. The solo podcast that are by myself that I'm going to continue to do for the duration of the podcast. and also me interviewing people, because I feel like they're two separate experiences, right? And both of them are very important to me. But I really like just doing the solo podcast, just getting what's on my mind off my chest, sharing it with you guys, getting the feedback, because I've learned a lot. I've been around some really brilliant people, and I've been able to achieve some really incredible things. And you kind of see, you know, the background where I came from and some of the adversity that I've faced, just with willpower, a little bit of luck with it, just being around the right people. I realized that, you know, there's a lot that can be achieved, and it doesn't matter, you know, how much money you have, doesn't matter how smart you are, because I was as dumb as they get, really, because those zeros and 13s and 15s, they were pretty close to what I knew, because I wasn't paying attention because I was being a clown. I was literally disrupting the class all the time. But that changed, and it was because I put my mind to it. And then I decided that once I put my mind to it, I was just going to be disciplined. And anybody can do that. Anybody can make their decision just to be disciplined. And I always say, if you guys want to start, just start now. Like, you literally can change your life the day you wake up tomorrow. You just wake up, I'm going to do this, write it down and get it done. And I always say, write it down. If you're going to try to change your life and you can't even write it down, then you're probably not going to be serious enough to do the right things or all the things that you need to do to get it done so you actually change your life. You know, I went to a networking event. For people that don't know what networking events are, it's a very, I won't say boring, but in some cases, just because it's just an uncomfortable thing that business people do when they go to like these gatherings where you're interacting with each other to exchange, you know, your business cards or information to see if there's an opportunity for you to work together. It's just usually a bunch of strangers that work for, you know, all these random companies that hopefully there's some, you know, opportunity for you to work together. Literally, that's what it is. And I met with a guy. He's got a pretty cool company. Basically, what they do is they do testing to see if when you put a display into a grocery store, is this display selling more than, is the item selling more on the display or is it selling off of the shelf? So those big, huge displays that you see, people are actually testing. Is it worth putting money? Like, is this attracting people to them or are they just going to the shelf? So that's what this guy does. He makes a test to say, hey, you know, this $5,000 display ended up selling you $12,000 worth of product versus it being on the shelf and it only selling $1,000. So it's worth spending, you know, this much to do the display because you're blah, 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 right? So yeah, I met him and he was saying that, you know, business that he was in before, it was great. And then it just kind of died down. And now he's starting from scratch again, building this business back up. And he seemed a little stressed out about it. I said, you know what's awesome about being all the way at the top and then starting from the bottom? He said, what? And I said, you know what it takes to get to the top. So you have the cheat sheet. It's just a matter of you executing. And that's true. That's a fact. And he could just kind of see him perk up. He's like, that's a good point. I'm like, you're damn right. It's a good point. And that's what I'm trying to do with this podcast. You know, I'm not trying to preach to anybody, but I'm just trying to say, hey guys, tune into this every once in a while and, you know, pick up some cheats that can help you be successful in whatever you're trying to achieve. And one of them is by being around people that are trying to achieve the same thing and they're obsessed by it to the point that they're going to help you as much as they possibly can because they want you to be better, because the better you get, the more you can teach them and the better they can get. Isn't that weird? No, it's not. For anybody that thought it was weird, those are the people that need to be in their training, because there are people out there that feel that's weird because they've never been around people that treat them like that. And like I said, it's not every school that's like this. I'm just very fortunate to be training at this school where you have such a mix of these type of individuals that are dedicated to the same thing. So I always say, you know, find something physical and do this, but I should really be saying, you know, guys, jiu-jitsu, try it, learn it. I was going to say you're not going to get hurt, but you might. You might get hurt, but guess what? You're going to get better, you know? And that's the most important part. And it gets better. There's two ways to look at that word, right? Get better in the fact that if there's something wrong with you, like me, like I was off balance when I went in to train. And then when I came out, I'm better now. I'm back on balance. I got my energy levels back to be up at this late doing this podcast and loving it. And then better in the fact that becoming more efficient, like literally becoming better at a better person, better training partner, you know, better husband, better boyfriend, better best friend, better manager, because you're in more control of yourself. You're in more control of your emotions. That discipline, it just bleeds into every aspect of your life. You know, I really, one feedback that I would love to get, and I hope a lot of people hear this, and I hope this will be the first t-shirt I create. The person that tells me this and actually shows me what they're doing says, you know, the last 30, after listening to your podcast, for the last 30 days, I've been doing whatever. Now, that's not what I'm going to say. Don't come up to me and say whatever, but tell me what it is you've been doing. For the last 30 days, I started doing jiu-jitsu, and I've been training it for the last 30 days, and this is the result. That's what I want to hear. You know, so you know what that does? It puts me in a position to say, and guess what? You'll continue to do it. Because of that rule that I said, it's a universal rule. It's a true, it's a fact. Do something for 30 days, it becomes a habit. Now, what do you mean? So we mean I had to train 30 days for, no, that means get up and start going 2 days a week. 2 days a week, that's all you have to do. Then your body's going to be like, all right, I like this. 2 days a week for the last 30 days, that's not a lot. That's not a lot of big commitment, but your body's going to get trained and say, this is a habit because I've been doing this every Monday and every Thursday for the last 2 weeks, so I'm going to continue to do it. It's amazing. Professor Chris today said, you know, people make fun of the guy that says he does 30 push-ups every day. Like, it's only 30. Yeah, but it's better than nothing. It's better than the person that's not doing anything. So it's the same thing. Even if it's small, even if you do 10 push-ups every day, and that's every day. That's, you know, every day for 30 days. You're going to develop a habit. And I don't know if doing push-ups every day is healthy. But you guys get the point. You know, it's not going to hurt you. You're definitely going to get stronger. Your body's definitely going to change. If those are the results you're looking for, then continue doing it, you know? But something like writing, something like working out, something like anything that's healthy that you continue to do and get better. The person that comes up to me and says that, that's when I start printing my t-shirts. So I hope somebody out there helps me get that process started, because I want to wait until it grows a little bit more and I have more of a fan base to start doing these t-shirts. But if someone comes up to me 30 days from now, then I'm going to start printing them, because I'd love to do that. So that's not even a challenge. That's like, I want to say it's a challenge, but it's not. It's something that I would appreciate. So I don't know. Someone text me what the word is for something like that. But yeah, the last 30 days, this is what I've been doing. The last 30 days, I've been, you know, writing in my journal every day for the last 30 days. That's awesome. You know, and they're going to continue doing it. Last 30 days, I'm waking up every morning and just pick something. I guess I'm going to give you some criteria. Pick something that you have to do for every day and do it for 30 days. That's a big challenge. Like, when you're walking around today, think about that challenge and think about something that you could do. Imagine if 30 people came up to me and said that they did that challenge. That would be crazy. That would be crazy. That's a lot of t-shirts. That's 30 people wearing my t-shirt. So it's a win-win regardless. But that would be crazy. But just think about it. What would it be that you could challenge yourself to do and hold yourself accountable? Like, if you don't do it, what's going to happen? And see if you can do that, because it's harder than you think, but it's more rewarding than you think. So it's worth it. So try it. So that's how I'm going to wrap this up. And the reason why I'm doing it at 1 o'clock, like I said, you know, when you wake up in the day, there should be things that you have in a checklist mentally should be written down. But if you want to just be mental about it, cool, be mental about it. that you know that you have to get done, that you said that you're going to do, that you told someone that you're going to do. And you need to get it done. And like I said, if you have five things on your list and
you got four of them done. I can't go to sleep until I get that fifth one done. And this was that what that was. I went to sleep after the gym because they whooped my ass. They whooped my ass. So I went to the gym, I passed out after, and I woke up. I'm like, I still need to get this done because I knew everything that I had to say. I made sure I know that I had to get it out today. So, because I was excited. I was excited to see Cody. Man, Cody's a savage. This guy, bad. Like, what did there? Saw him just the way he was moving in practice, like when we were warming up and then we were drilling. Just like I said, everything. He just looked so much more confident and so much more fluid and smoother. His transitions were so smooth. So that was awesome to see that. And Deja put a beating on me. I mean, just laughing and playfully whooping my ass. Like, just giving me a beating. And, you know, Sherwin, once again, he was just so focused and so committed to making sure that I understood everything, that I didn't get frustrated. I tend to get frustrated when I don't figure things right away. And he's just so patient with me and so committed to making sure that, you know, I figure it out because he knows what it can do to my game. And he keeps me honest. Because one thing, this is interesting, a lot of people look at me and say, oh, you're a big guy. I don't really think so, but we'll run with it. All you Emerson guys out there, I know what big guys are because I used to work out with some big guys. You know, like Billy Thier is a big guy. Tony Weaver is a big guy. You know, Matt Redgrave is a big guy. You know, those guys are big boys. They say that I'm big, but I know that I'm strong. So when I roll jiu-jitsu, one of the issues that I have is I tend to rely on my strength. And that's good until you come across someone that's stronger than you. And then that becomes an issue. And when you use strength, you get tired. And when you tire, you can eventually die. You know, when you're in a fight, think about this. Matt says this all the time. It's very simple. When you're in a fight, the person that gets tired first loses. So the last thing you want to do is do something that's going to make you tired. And that's by using your strength. So you want to use your technique because it's the most efficient way for you to use your strength. Or use your energy. Technique is energy management. It's really what it is. And when you're fighting one guy or when you're in these roles and you're rolling for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, energy management is super important. And when you're using the proper technique, you're using the proper breathing. And when you're using the proper breathing, you're feeding your muscles. You're feeding your muscles the energy that they need to execute on whatever you're trying to execute on. So it's all very important that you understand these concepts. And the more you train jiu-jitsu, I guess, the more you understand the concepts. But so I'm so into this episode. I'm still going into the information I'm supposed to be sharing with you on the next episode. So that's what it is. Like, when you're passionate about this stuff, that's what happens. And I guess I'm just pushing you guys to go find your passions so you have something to be fired up about that's going to keep you up till 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, just excited to talk about what you did. So I do have to wrap this up now. And like I said, guys, I have some interviews scheduled for this week. I have some interviews scheduled for the next week, and I have more interviews scheduled for the following week. My biggest thing is, you know, the decision that I'm being faced up is I want to rush and get the episodes done. You know, right as I get done recording them, I just want to shoot them up on and get the feedback from the episodes and get the people that I'm interviewing, get their information out there. Because everybody that I bring on this show, you know, I'm putting them on here for a reason. You know, everybody. I'm gonna be having Samson on the show this Saturday. Samson is someone that I roll with tonight. He's been a training partner with me this whole journey, really. And I've watched him grow tremendously. I've seen him compete. We've been at competitions. And being at competitions with your training partner, you're really going into a fight. You're really going into a situation where someone's going to try to beat you up. And if they can, they're going to try to take your arm home with them. Because competitions are the closest you're going to get to a fight. And I've always talked about the journey, right? That the journey is what it's all about. And that fight or being on the stage is just the end. It's the cap where it all comes together. So when you're talking about a fight in jiu-jitsu, when you're talking about these competitions, you're there with your training partner, you're watching them go through the nerves, you're watching them manage the nerves, you're watching them size up their competition. You really learn who that person is. You see where their fears are, you see where their strengths are, you see where their weaknesses are, and you're there with them, and you're being a teammate, and you're going through it with them. As they're dealing with their fears, you're managing yours, but you're still there to kind of, you know, give them that confidence and remove any doubt that they have, and just kind of coach each other through the whole experience. So I've been there with him, and he recently took a trip to Thailand to study Muay Thai and to work on some of his jiu-jitsu. It's just been it's been an amazing journey, because I've seen him change in ways personally that have been inspiring to me, that have been extremely motivating to me. And it pushes me, because he's one of the guys that train in that gym that never find an excuse or distraction big enough to keep them off the mat. And I don't know how he does it. And it's just, I think it's because it's just pure determination and focus. But I want to know what's driving that focus. And I want to know what's driving that, that will to succeed and to achieve what he set out to do. And I hope, the purpose of the interview, why I'm having him come on the show, is because I know that there's going to be something that comes out of that conversation that's going to change someone's outlook on something that they're doing, or inspire their outlook on what they're doing, or bring value. And it's important, because all of us, we're all super unique, right? But when you see this guy, the size of him in comparison to me, but you see the fight in him in comparison to me, you think he has a bigger heart, you know? And I think he does. When I'm sitting here and I'm talking about it and I'm doing a little bit of self-reflection, and I think and I see the way he works, and I see how nothing prevents this kid from being on that mat. And when I say kid, I don't say that in any disrespect. I'm just saying, man, he's just a force. And when I say he's a savage, he's truly a savage. And I roll with him tonight, and he worked me. He really, really worked me. And to see somebody of his size, I mean, he's 5'7". I want to say like 135 pounds, maybe. To see him pin me to the ground, right now I'm 6 foot, 215 pounds. He had me pinned to the mat, and I couldn't move today. Just in technique, connection, weight distribution, and base and balance. That's what base is, right? That's amazing to see that. And that's because he's been showing up every day. Like, remember that medicine I was telling you? That pill that doctor could give you that would, if you take it 4 days a week? Yeah, but what if I put on that list of stuff is be able to kick ass? You know? One of the benefits of taking that pill, jiu-jitsu, is that you could also kick some serious ass. Would you take it? I think you should. Because badasses just get a lot of respect, man. When you see a badass, sometimes they don't even have to have badass ring. You just see, you know, just by their swagger, just the way that they walk. And that swagger, a lot of times, if you're picking up on it, like if you're vibing off of it, then you know that it's real. But when it's fake, you also do the same thing. And someone like him, he's not fake. He's a real deal. And it's a real honor to have him on my show. All right, enough. Listen. All right. I'm wrapping this up. Really, really fired up to bring you guys this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Give me some feedback if you can on iTunes. Please vote this up. Give me those 5 stars. Let's keep this thing on the show on the road. I'm excited. Another thing is, guys, the other podcast that came out around the same time that I came out, they're not doing as good as I'm doing. You know what I mean? They really are. They're kind of falling behind, and I'm excited about that. And it's because I don't think they have the same fan base that, you know, I have. And I'm lucky. I'm very fortunate. I appreciate you guys. You're the best. Help me get those t-shirts printed. That'd be an awesome step for me. I need your help with that, with the last 30-day challenge or whatever. Text me that better word, because I'm looking for it. I just can't find it. And figure out what it is. You know, what are you going to be focusing on, you know, in the next 30 days? What's that habit? And see. And then once you start out with something small, then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Before you know it, you're a black belt. All right? All right. Have a good day. Be productive.
And this is weird, but good night.